Greetings and welcome to the One Within All. This is Interverse, Season 3, Episode 21. My name is Chance, and today I'm talking to the one and only human dynamo of novelty-generating and mind-expanding weirdness known to some as Satori D. He's an all-around artist type of guy, proficiently dabbling in things from poetry to video editing and lots of other interesting stuff, lots of good like digital art images that he comes up with. And he's got really awesome interview skills too. He has his own podcast type of deal called Infinite Imaginarium. And there's a group of the same name that you can join on Minds.com, which you may have heard me talk about before. Satori D is one of the many excellent friends I've connected with through Minds.com. And some of you listening probably found me there, actually. It's a really good platform. We talk a little bit about why we use it in this episode, but for now, I'll just say you ought to come over and check it out if you haven't, because you won't believe how much wider your perspective stream becomes when you step out of the heavily controlled information lanes such as Facebook or Twitter. So make sure you check out Satori D on Minds and join his group, Infinite Imaginarium. And if you do go, you can join the Interverse group there too. And you should also look for the upcoming episode of Infinite Imaginarium, where he and I have sort of a part two of the conversation that we're having here in today's episode. The episode notes for this podcast will link you to all that and more, and also a link to patreon.com/interverse, where if you want to subscribe to help crowdfund this podcast so I can get better computer and better equipment and start making sweet videos and graphics and stuff like Satori D does, well, you're really the only one that can help me do that. I'm kind of financially, I'm all set on debt. I can't get any more at the moment. So anyway, consider helping me out, and you'll get access to like daily art posts and any other stuff I can try to grant to you patrons. And I really appreciate you guys who do it already. There's a solid group of over 40 of you, and I love you all, each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Music in this episode is the new EP Sleepwalker by Cadella, a couple songs off of that. And if you like what you hear, make sure you go follow the link in the show notes to follow him on SoundCloud and enjoy all of the EP, because like everything Cadella does, it is a sonic masterpiece, and I'm sure he has a lot more awesome stuff coming soon, so you should follow him. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Keep your vibration high and spread the frequency of love and truth and unity consciousness wherever you go. And know that you have the potential to create life as you want it, as long as you can imagine it. And there will always be a path to take you there as long as you're willing to take the steps. Now, let's go talk to Satori D. He has a totally similar mindset as what I just stated. And I think you're going to love the conversation. And we're going to start out with an original poem that I asked him to read. All right. Here we go.
Of reality, there is a deep nature that no one can see or hear, a different world in there. Try to stretch out, but you cannot reach. Try to grasp, but it falls through. Try to think, but the moment it does, it collapses. Darkness engulfs all visions and sound. Heavy vibrations of eternity, the formlessness of infinity, the void, the self are one. Entities sing beyond space and time, but cannot listen from mind. Damp smell of every wind, the bitter taste of reality, shadows in the corner of perception. But when you stare, they disappear. When you look, they are nowhere. When they are seen, they are everywhere. The silent knowledge brings whispers of reality.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So everybody, this is Daniel, also known as Satori D on Minds.com. What is the name of that poem?
It's called Whispers of Reality.
I like it because it really jives with something that I've been, kind of preaching hard lately, which is the only way you can actually get hurt is by being afraid. And yeah. It's surprising how many people, whenever you explain that to them deeply, they'll go, yeah, that's actually true. That completely matches my experience in life, but I just never thought of it that way. And it's super empowering and liberating to know that.
You know, I was kind of like thinking about the similar thing. And it's like every time I put myself out there with some poetry, like the more I do it, the better I get with it. But there's always, you know, it's the internet. So you get, I don't even get that much because it's like, I'm not even like, you know, but much feedback back when it's like negative. And I remember one time I was having this discussion with somebody and I was like, you know, like the downvotes and all that kind of stuff, like I really don't care. Like I'd rather have like a comment or a discussion about stuff, especially if somebody doesn't like anything that I post or whatever. It's like, but I still get like nervous when I write, when I like my poetry, because most of it is like personal stuff that like I have no other way to express it. So I like put it in a poem. And then so when I, so I'm like always hesitant to throw stuff out there. I mean, the more I do it, the better I get with it. So when I do get that like feedback back, of like someone not really getting it or kind of negative about it, you know, my first reaction is kind of like, ah. But then, but even though I get back negative, like my reaction is more like, ah, like I feel not bad, like bad, but I was like, well, you know, they just probably don't have the same outlet that I do, you know, like, cause I think, cause even me, like the stuff that I don't like, but if I see someone putting like effort and energy towards it, and I think it doesn't matter like how raw it is or whatever, as long as there's like some passion and some thought and some focus into that, that gets like put into these different, artwork, whether it's a poem, a video, music, especially music, anything, like it comes in all different forms, you know. But when I see effort, I go, I'm like, oh, like I may not like it, it might not be my style, my cup of tea, but if I feel that little bit of like, oh, they're trying to do something, they're trying to create something, they're trying to make something, then I'm like, even though I don't like it, like I could, you know, respect that.
I totally understand. If you're able to actually respect yourself enough to follow your own passions and express your true unique voice in the world, then that automatically translates to respect for others, including their work, because A, you know what it took for them to get to that point, and B, you know that everybody that just is going around trolling on people or having no real creative output themselves is only in that place of disrespecting, with you know, they only disrespect because they don't have self-respect, you know.
Yeah, but I do think for a good troll, there is some skill in that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But you know, when it's just like kind of, you can tell like where someone just like just says something just to throw shit on it, and then you're just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. They don't have, because like I seen stuff that I don't like, but like someone tagged me in and they're like, oh, what do you think about this? And you know, since I've done like podcasts and I do my own little video mixes, and so I sat and watched it. I know how much work goes into like making a 7-minute clip, you know, like I was like, oh man, just like the audio editing or whatever. And I kind of like just give them like tips, and you know, like even though we're totally different on an outlook and on how we express ourselves. But I was like, dude, like, I remember one time, this is early on Minds, like, there's this one guy that we always kind of had, like, we're always not seeing eye to eye, and I got kind of mad one time, and I'm like, oh, that's it, I'm gonna, like, because, like, I talked to him, and I thought we were cool, I was like, that's it, I'm gonna, like, downvote all this stuff, I told my friend, I'm gonna go on the warpath, and I never do this, this was early on in Minds, and I never do this That was the first time. But then I went to his page, and he had like different videos of him doing different things. And then I ended up like going to his YouTube channel. I'm like, oh my God, he put in so much work on this, and like no one's watching it. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna start upvoting all his stuff. And then by the end of the time, like I was in there mad, but I was like, no, he's like really trying, even though like his thing was kind of being like, the way we didn't see eye to eye is he was, for lack of a better word, a Jesus freak. And so he's like a conservative Christian. Even though he got rubbed off because I was like talking about like psychedelics or consciousness. And I told him like, don't you see, like, we're basically talking about the same thing. And you can't recognize that because you're getting hung up on these words, this ideology. I'm like, that's what I don't like about it. Like, I grew up a Catholic and I grew up like listening to what Jesus said and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, but you know, I choose to use different words because I think they have a broader impact. Like, cause I don't think, like, I don't like how God in this modern sense that we use, it has all this baggage to it. And when you say God, then it means something to like Muslims or Christians, and it has all this baggage to it, and it's not really projecting what it should be. And I like the word like consciousness, or something that Allen Ginsberg said once. He said the main thing in the universe is nameless. So I give it the name beauty, and beauty is beauty. That's all there is to it. But if you're interested in yourself, then you're stuck with yourself and you're stuck with your death. But if you get interested in beauty, then you launch onto something mysterious inside your soul that grows and grows like a secret and insane thought until you're it. So that art, beauty, consciousness, whatever, even God, you know, is that thing that's this nameless thing that is this out there. And it's kind of like in that whispers of reality, which is kind of me like kind of depicting these strange things that happen to me in sleep. And it's like this thing that I can't put into words. And every time I try to put it into words, it falls beneath my, it's like trying to like grasp water, and it just falls through my fingers. And I'm always like chasing that mystery, that oddness that brings life to everything.
I was going to say the Native American phrase for it is great mystery. And that's one of my favorite things to call it. Though let's jump back a little bit.
Okay.
You brought up minds.com, and that's actually where you and I connected. And, how would you describe that in a concise way that would encourage people to jump on there and start engaging with us there in a way that, you know, I can say, first of all, you're not going to have the censorship that you experience on your mainstream social media platforms. What would you say about it?
Yeah, Minds is an open source social networking site. And the reason I like it so much, I've been there since almost the beginning and developed a pretty cool relationship with Bill Ottman and John, who are the creators and founders of Minds. And they really, I have the sense that they have this community where they're going to keep to being about free speech as much as they can, and really kind of want to empower people and not do all this kind of stuff that like what Facebook does. You know, it's a free site for Facebook, but you got to sell off your digital identity to have it. And all these kind of like weird marketing stuff that they do, I have a feeling, and I hope Minds will stay that way. But really what it is to me is somewhere where you could kind of post up and speak your voice. There's a lot of different opinions on Minds. And at first, maybe for someone who's not, is used to more of a, let's say, closed off space, like Facebook or something.
You mean like just status quo worldview?
Yeah, they might not necessarily, like it depends on, you know, when you go there. But if you, like kind of what we were saying before, if you put in time and try to express yourself, you're going to attract the others. This is something I kind of like says, you attract the others. And
Terrence McKenna said, find the others.
Yeah. And And so you'll attract the others, and it might be slow at first, but I think there's a lot of overwhelming respect for anybody trying to do something whatever it is, whatever kind of weirdness you're into, as long as it's authentic. And if you're like trying to sell stuff on Minds, you like in a sense, like if you're using it to like market other stuff, like we have this whole thing about bots, and like people went crazy about find the bots and just taking off all those kind of like spammer bots. But if they find out that you're like a real person that is trying to do something, for instance, with you, when you started posting on Infinite Imaginarium, I have great respect for anybody that's trying to do something. So then I started looking into your podcast, and then I saw your artwork, and I'm like trying to encourage you, hey, you should like put more of your artwork in the group. Like, we love that kind of stuff.
And so, I really need to. I'm just so fucking busy.
Yeah. And so anybody, like for me, that's what I like to see. Anybody trying to do anything, whatever it is, it's artwork or podcasts or videos or blogs, anything. And I think, you know, there's room for all types of voices. And for me, what I like about Minds is cultivating, finding the others and creating the weird is my new favorite motto that I have. And so I've been doing that for since almost the beginning of Minds. I'm what we call the class of 2015 when it first got its launch.
If you are definitely a scholar in the Terentian McKinney, version of reality, then generating novelty is seemingly one of the primary aspects to why the universe and we exist within it. So I really loved what you're saying about that guy that he attempted to rub you the wrong way with his closed-mindedness, and instead you just supported what he was doing anyway. Because even somebody that's in a position of willful ignorance about the truth that's right in front of their face, if what they're doing is creating things and having the intention to find the truth, even if they're really far away from it, there's a higher probability that they're going to actually get there, and their imagination is going to open up enough to the point where they can start seeing different possibilities for reality and for their own worldview to be healed through that. So really, like, encouraging anybody to create and do what it is that they feel called to do is probably the fastest way to accelerate all of us out of the backwards and negative paradigms that we find ourselves stuck in culturally.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, I remember we had this one thing, and I think it was Adam Millward. He does these mandala stuff, and he wrote this article, Can Art Heal?
They're really cool looking.
Yeah, and he tells his story about how his artwork helped him to kind of like heal himself and all this kind of stuff. And then, so there was like this little backlash, but someone said, oh, art's really nice, but how can looking at a painting heal? And I think, you know, it was kind of semantics, but I think the process of creating, of digging into your inner world, your inner verse, and then projecting that out, that act of creating is the power of creation, of healing, of beauty, of this whole thing. And I think, you know, if you are able to cultivate that within yourself, like we were saying earlier, you know, since I spent so much time, even prior to this whole Satori D thing, I did poetry as well, and I kind of like did spoken word here and there, but I never saw my possibility of doing something with it until like Minds. Like, I saw like a real possibility of having a kind of a platform and kind of like really working more towards it, and seeing this power that expression, creativity, art has. And I think with Infinite Imaginarium, which is half podcast, half decentralized artist collective that I have on Minds, that's the real experience I want to give somebody. That it's cool if you like our videos, if you like our stuff, but really what I want is for you to create your own like video mashup, for you to do your own expression. So I think that act of creation, that act of doing art, is something really powerful that if you had that direct experience of it. And then I don't see how like we were talking earlier, how you could, I mean, yeah, you could be critical of other people's work, like, oh, it lacks a little bit of heart, or maybe I wouldn't do it that way. But you wouldn't just, in my opinion, I don't see how you could shit on it just to shit on it. Like, you could find that little spark of truth there.
There are creators out there who do actually do that exact thing, unfortunately. There's people who get YouTube followers just by trashing someone who has a lot of followers in some kind of response video. But the thing is, those type of people, and also like people touting mainstream media viewpoints on things, and, you know, therefore debunking or making fun of people with alternative ideas and actual real facts, those people who are not actually expressing their inner world or their inner verse, they are parroting the conditioning and mind control that all of us are subjected to all the time. So what is so important about actually connecting to your own inner expression through your creativity and not just creating for the sake of what you think others will want to hear or see, or creating for the sake of tearing others down because they conflict with the dogmatic worldview that you're holding. If you're actually creating from your own true self, that's going to inevitably start guiding you to truth, because your creations won't stand in, you know, they won't stand in up against other people's analysis of it if they are inconsistent with truth in some way, or in some way it doesn't work. Like if you're a painter, for example, you're going to get better and better at painting because that's a natural thing of doing something repeatedly. You're going to see what you did wrong and you're going to make an improvement on it. You're not going to just not do that. But in doing so, like the great Leonardo da Vinci would say, you can learn all you need about your life through just getting really good at painting, because all these different creative paths are actually spokes in a great wheel that lead to the same source and are emanating from the same source. And if we're actually on one of these paths and not walking away from source by rejecting the truth that's right in front of us all the time, then it's only natural that that's going to constitute some sort of healing, because your knowledge is going to increase about source and about creation itself. And ultimately, learning the laws of creation that's probably why we're all here, I would think, because if we are evolving into some kind of future godlings that have more direct mental creative power over manifesting things in reality, then we're going to have to learn how to do that with balance and in a way that's harmonious, because otherwise our creations would be harmful. So it starts with the small steps of just doing whatever it is that you feel called to do. You and I have the exact same message for the world. It's actually pretty awesome, because you know, whenever you start out making something, it's because you want to do something that you see as needed in the world, but that you can't find. And so that was kind of my call to action here, is to try to encourage people to find their way onto their creative path, while also attempting to do that for myself and sharing what insights I gain along the way to possibly be helpful, and definitely be helpful to be hearing from voices like who are actually making their own way creatively. So it's really cool to have discovered somebody that's got the exact same kind of mission statement, if you will, towards why you express the weird, if you will.
Yeah. Also too, attracted me to you and to your post and everything was Interverse. And actually it's this book by Rick Straussman, and it's a collaboration, and it's called Inner Paths to Outer Truths. And when I read that book, I kind of always use that as like an inner mantra, inner paths to outer truths. I just love how it sounds, but it really is amazing how, and this is why I use my symbol that I use, is the bee shaman, and I actually stole it from Food of the Gods, Terrence McKenna. I think his wife actually did a recreation of it. And so that is probably the first time in human history that we had artwork that was different than just naturalistic. Like all the other stuff was just like the hunt and landscapes. And this was like in the deepest, darkest place of the cave. And I, you know, not ironically, but for anybody who has experienced mushrooms, you could probably sense why supposedly maybe a shaman went out into the deepest, darkest cave in the dark, took some mushrooms, and then drew this thing, totally other type of, has a bee face, antlers, kind of, and he's like glowing, and he has the mushrooms growing out of him. And to me, that I always find that fascinating. And I think that we as humans, this is where, you know, you were talking about, we hacked into consciousness somehow, and we've been kind of blindly stumbling around making reality, but I don't think we have totally harnessed this power. And for right now, it's been like a detriment, I think. But I think the more we realize the awe of the chaos, the beautiful chaos that is life, and that we're a part of life and we're not different, and that connection that we have, that we're just this latest chain in this novelty and chaos of the whole progression of everything, and that we get more in tune to the Tao, what the Tao is, the natural flow of things, that we could have more fun first and foremost.
Most certainly.
But you know that's this thing that we've been doing, I think, you know, the creative process, there's a whole lineage of this going on. You know, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. And I think, you know, the more people kind of, because I think there's been an explosion of creativity, explosion of novelty, and it's been weird how we've been kind of like in this present shock of things, because in my last poem that I wrote, Songs of Humanity, it was me kind of like wrestling with this thing that I, no matter how like bad it gets, I still see I'm developing this web series. It's called Luminous Dark, and it's about misadventures in modern like society or whatever, but always like no matter how bad it is, like there's always this lining, like the darkness always like illuminates of beauty of creation. And I for me, you know, sometimes when things don't seem like, that's how actually I started writing poetry, is like my first one I wrote was excuse me, I'm kind of getting over being sick, but it was called Unconscious Tape Loops, and I just I was like 23, and I just had a DUI. I just got out of county jail, and I was feeling really bad about myself, and I was thinking, what the fuck am I doing with my life, and all this kind of stuff, just like had this like mini meltdown in my room, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? And I couldn't like channel my energy into anything. Like I wanted to break something, but I knew that wasn't like the way to do it. And I didn't want to like go out and like do something stupid again. And then, so I was like, you know what? I don't know what to do myself. I'm just going to sit here with this pen and paper and then write out all these like weird loops that are playing in my head. That, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. I'm this or that, and all these kind of like negative thoughts, and who am I, and all this kind of stuff. These unconscious tape loops that just go in the back of our minds constantly, and sometimes it's not even in our own minds. The things that we see out in mainstream media and all this kind of stuff that bombards us day in and day out. And I sat there and I wrote like 23 pages of this poem, and then afterwards I felt like like this weight, like I cleanse myself. And I always kind of like go back to this poem and I always kind of like refresh my memory. And so my whole process is always in writing poetry is to kind of like clean the hard drive of my mind. Cause you know, and it's kind of like my own meditation or my own little thing, but you know, there's stuff, whether it's conscious or unconscious, that kind of loops in your mind, and it could really get to you. But once you like kind of like, I try to find beauty in almost every situation, and even in the darkness. And you know, there's, I don't know why this is true. I don't think it necessarily has to be true, but it's amazing to hear stories that happen in tragedies where random people show their humanity and do simple things for people. And I think, you know, if we, I think it's always there and we're just asleep or blind to it. But I think if we could constantly remind ourselves and wake ourselves up to that fact that it would be better for our whole progression as humanity.
Yeah, the awareness of what is going on in your own mind is the first step towards being able to actually transcend that. What you get out of meditation or any other kind of awareness practice, like your personal practice that you're describing, is the ability to pay greater attention to what it is that you're thinking and then choose for yourself whether or not you agree with that thought and want to hold on to that energy and project it outwards, or if you want to go, oh no, that's just a loop, that's just an extra tab on my mental internet browser that I can close, you know?
I could close that one. It's slowing me down.
But so you mentioned hacking into consciousness a few minutes back. And to me, that sounds kind of like the idea that consciousness as we know it developed out of our physiology. And whether or not that's what you actually meant, I would like to clarify what my personal experience and research has shown to me, which is that we most likely came here in full conscious awareness, not out of what we would call consciousness. And what our brains are actually doing is receiving the signal of who we are at all times. Our hearts are actually involved in this process of reception more than our brains, I think. I think the brain is more like a command switching station. But anyway, what's been going on throughout human history, I see as a return from a fallen state where at some point we lost this greater cosmic awareness that we are all capable of whenever we are still and whenever we look within and when we're not distracted by those looping thoughts and our third eyes are open. And the development of consciousness through history, you can actually look in ancient writings and see that the way that consciousness worked for, say like Homer when he was writing the Iliad, appears to be different than the consciousness of later beings that were more self-reflective. And an example I would give characters whenever they are going to do something, there's no mention of any kind of internal reflection or internal thought processes. Instead, their actions are guided and a lot of times controlled by the gods. And that's esoterically, it's thought that our consciousness actually is generated from all seven chakras, which are connected to major organs and connected to the seven planets, and that in the past humanity actually experienced their reality through multiple points of consciousness, not just a singular brain, like cameras in your eyes, consciousness seated in your head way. And I think part of our development now, as we go through these cycles of gaining and losing awareness, requires that we really focus on activating the middle chakra, the heart chakra, the thing that brings balance and love and compassion and kindness into the world. Like, because like you're saying, there are a lot of tragic situations, and the best thing that can possibly come out of them is when people actually help one another and have compassion towards one another. So if we can cultivate that, and creativity certainly seems to cultivate that, because whenever you get good at doing something, it's only natural that you kind of want to help somebody else do that if they are earnestly trying and they come to you or you encounter them. And the darkness being something where beauty can be found in general, I think is a really important thing to understand at many deeper levels that keep getting deeper and deeper. And one of those deeper levels would be that darkness is actually where things are generated in nature. And the inner darkness is where you see things playing out on your personal projector, the innerverse, if you will. So in this concept of cycles of death and rebirth that humanity seemed to be locked in and seemed to be in some way connected to these major world religions and spiritual structures that are powered by collective belief, then I actually think one of the most important things that may be required for us to transcend this entire life, death, time, linear time illusion is that at the moment that we drop our bodies and finish our run here in the physical reality, to not actually go into the light, but to go into the darkest point of yourself and go through that and emerge into your true inner infinite reality, where you are the actual creator and manifester and not just one little character stuck in linear time, the way that going into the light and getting a new birth and starting over and forgetting everything would cause you to do. But I guess I could be wrong about that. It's kind of hard to prove without going going through a death experience personally. But that's where I think one of the deepest, very plausible wisdoms comes in when considering the silver lining in the darkness, if you will.
Yeah. And going back to what you were saying about earlier humans and consciousness, I think, so for instance, why I think the act of creating, and actually I saw this really cool documentary on math, and even through scientific innovation, a lot of stuff, like even with Descartes, actually an angel came to Descartes in a dream and told him if he wanted to understand the world, it's through mathematics. And he kind of started modern science.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. In history, yeah. There's so many stories of some kind of spiritual being giving someone guidance and changing the way history goes, that it would be weird that if all of that was just a lie. When people have seemingly verifiable spiritual experiences where they gain information from entities and they're able to prove that they know something that they otherwise shouldn't know. You know, there's all kinds of that.
And so when you talk to, like, you know, when we do our shows, like we do our shows and we talk to different artists and different people, time and time again, I come to this point, you know, where they talk about how they get into the zone and they just work on it and they don't even know how they do some of the stuff they do. And for me, the way I phrase it is that I'm just a pin. When I get in, like, for instance, when I told you that story, the unconscious tape loop poem, at a certain point in that poem, I kind of just got in the zone and just started writing. And then later I read it and I was like, oh shit, what the hell? And so, like, my phrase after that was that I'm just a pin. And you hear these stories again and again of different people. The most fascinating stuff I hear is through, like, science and how different people say, you know, it just, like, came to me. Like, I was, like, receiving it instead of, like, how we think of the regular way information works. And I think, you know, there's the local information that we all carry within our brain and through our experiences and that, but there's the non-local that happens. The theory that I kind of like is morphogenetic resonance, and it basically talks about how there's these pockets of information embedded within the environment that us as different species or we do different things that we have access to. Rupert Sheldrake, he did a lot of that work with like animals and different things.
Yeah, he proved that dogs know when their owners are about to come home.
Yeah, and like all this kind of like weird stuff of how our normal way of understanding how information works doesn't hold up, you know? And I think because for me, you know, when you go into that, for lack of a better word, that intuition, and it kind of, this is what is so important, like with meditation or whatever you do, you kind of dissolve that, the unconscious state to the illusion of that ego that's always kind of like
the saying, ego identification, the id.
And then once you dissolve that, then you go into this kind of this more pure state of your awareness. And, you know, I think this is why I kind of use psychedelics a lot to express this. But I have had different experiences without psychedelics through meditation and through dreaming, more specifically dreaming. I've done so many weird things in dreaming. But it's always the same feel. And you get, you know, I always tell the story about the first time, not it wasn't the first time, but the first time, instead of knowing that the earth is alive, like as an intellectual concept, I took mushrooms and I was sitting on the beach and I could feel the earth move. And I just knew intuitively that I was like a cell inside of the earth and the earth was this living, breathing entity.
Yeah, and man, I've been there on mushrooms too. Yeah, it's completely real.
That felt experience is totally different than just reading a book about it. And I think the felt experience of getting into that zone is the same felt experience of this connection to I like the phrase Tao, and the natural flow of things and how the, cause we're like, I also use this phrase a lot and it's called Songs of Eternity and Dancing to the Heartbeat of the Universe. And I, you know, there's this other great, quote, and there's, you know, more of these scientists are debating about consciousness, and one guy said consciousness is more than computation, and it's more like an orchestra or music. And I think that's totally true, because, you know, how we and it has gotten as far as ever since Descartes, and an angel told him that if you wanted to understand the world, it's through mathematics. And
the early philosophers, the early Greek philosophers actually believed in the concept of the music of the spheres, which was the heavenly bodies would actually create music that a tuned in human being could hear, and through that be in flow with all of creation and playing their part in the great song, the universe, the one song.
Yeah,
is what the universe is. I don't know where I was going with that. I just thought it was cool. I mean, I guess that like you can hear sort of music in your head that doesn't exist all the time if you close off those repeating thought loops and you're actually listening. Happens to me a lot. Usually it's songs where I'm songs about my cats for some reason. I guess I think about them too much.
You know what's weird too? I don't even know where this is going, but this is a thought that comes to my mind. So one time I took a heroic dose of mushrooms and I was communing with a bush. So I had my Moses moment where this bush was like glowing with light. And then, so like my consciousness goes into there and there's this weird humming. And it was like vibrating. And so my experience of it is that I lose sense of my body and I'm just awareness communing with the glowing vibration of this bush. Then I go inside like the bush and then I'm like in this hall of vibration and light. And it, I just remember this weird humming, like this, like maybe like a bee humming, but it was like vibrating a lot. And then my
friend brought up the beehive shop. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, then my friend like shakes me out of it. He's like, what the fuck are you doing, Dan? And then I come back to my body and I couldn't talk for a while and I had this weird humming in my ears. And then like later we talk and then I had that experience and it's very distinct in my memory now. But like 3 years later, I was watching this video on YouTube and I think it's called Stuart Hoffman. And he did work with Roger Penrose, and they wanted to find a mechanism, a physical mechanism where they could kind of market of like how we receive consciousness. And their theory was about microtubules. And he goes into this whole lecture. I think it's called The Brief History of Consciousness. I'll find the link later so we could put it up. It's a pretty interesting lecture. But anyways, towards the end of it, he said that they have the sequence for the microtubules, and he said that someone was doing this work with sound, and where they could get mathematical patterns and then turn that into octanes and sound. And so they said, "Do you want to?" He makes this dramatic thing and says, "Do you want to hear what consciousness sounds like?" And he's talking about the microtubules, and so they put him in this algorithm and they play it. And oh my God, I had a flashback to when I had my Moses moment. That humming noise was eerily similar to the humming noise that I experienced back then. And I was just like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, there's something to this. That's weird humming noise.
I have a theory about it, but I feel like it's too out there.
And no, go for it.
Oh man, I don't well, you talked about the bee shamanism imagery, and I've had a lot of synchronicities in my life where, for example, I'll encounter somebody that's really far out on a psychedelic and really seemingly not even themselves and just saying stuff, and they'll say to me that we are the bees. We are the bees. Buzz, buzz. And the deeper I go into researching occulted information about the history of humanity and about the way that language constructs our realities, it sounds really crazy, I guess, but it seems to me that the entire life and death rebirth cycle that's going on is actually related in some way to the harvesting of a particular type of fluid from human beings that allows extraterrestrial quote unquote gods that have been in some form or fashion with us and guiding and commanding humanity for thousands of years or more. It's the ancient Greek philosophers called it ichor or ichor. It's a golden blood plasma that's secreted by the spine and has longevity benefits if used properly. And it's the honey or the gold that human beings were sent here to mine for, which is actually also a homonym for mind, because we're all existing only in our own minds and all the physical experiences we're having are constructs within our minds. And I think that humming, that buzzing, that universal sound that is hearable whenever your frequency is jacked up for some reason or another. For me, it comes on with psychedelics sometimes, like your Bush moment, definitely with DMT. And then other times, it'll just come on spontaneously whenever I'm, my chakras are more open because I've been achieving a higher state of balance or something. But again, that just returns me to the whole concept of breaking out of the cyclical life-death thing and getting back to our true state as infinite, timeless creator beings. Because if all things, you know, if we are all expressions of that greater divine source, why should it take millions of lifetimes or thousands of lifetimes to return to that state with what we have gained and learned in our journeys? Why not break the cycle as soon as we can and crumble the false matrix that's been inserted here in this computer program reality that we're currently finding ourselves in? Because it's really not, everything's backwards, you know, like I hate to sound negative because I really want to spread positivity and good, you know, uplifting information. But that's what the whole bees thing really correlates to for me. I'm sorry for how crazy it might sound to someone that's not really looked deeply into occulted information and the origins of humanity. And all of that, it's not something that's easily, you know, summarized, I guess, because there's some, you have to just mine and mine all this information from ancient and modern sources and try to find the consistencies and see what jives and resonates with your intuition as well. So anyway, I think that being fearless in general is the key to holding enough of our own energy to make a quantum leap, if you will, at the moment that we terminate this existence and not get sucked back into another cycle and instead let go of attachments and realize that even people that we perceivably are leaving behind in this reality matrix are not actually being left behind, because all of it was within and a part of us, the one singular being that we are all individual perspectives of, persons and specks in the consciousness, if you will. And you can't lose anything by leaving and exiting any particular galactic gravity matrix. You can only regain that which is true, and anything that is true will exist in the place that you're, you know, the place that's more your own personal self universe. It will still be there, and the illusions will be what you let go of. Still got you, Sator. Still there.
No, that is interesting. I was just having this weird vision of we're some kind of cosmic bees that are harvesting honey for some overlords.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, possibly, maybe.
That it reminds me of this story. And I always kind of like this story. So anyways, the story is this guy goes, this anthropologist goes down to the Amazon and he takes ayahuasca, and he has like this crazy vision, right? And he goes out to like the outer skirts of our solar system, and then gets confronted with this, for lack of a better word, reptile being that tells him that he's the true master of humanity, and he kind of like scares the living daylights out of him and shows him the creation of our solar system and this and that. So it kind of like really shakes him up, right? And he's like kind of like, what the fuck? This is weird. Like, I didn't expect this. This is the first time he took an ayahuasca, and it's actually one of the first times too that someone's kind of like recorded it. It happened like in the 60s or whatever. But anyways, so he goes and tries to find like, try to make sense out of his vision. And so he tells the shaman, the shaman's like, oh shit, usually that doesn't happen to someone that's a newbie like you. He's like, you're gonna have to go to my elder and I talk to him. So he goes, and it's this blind shaman that's like old, and he goes and it tells him, and he kind of laughs at him, and he looks at him like, what? Oh, those guys are always telling that story. It's like, I don't believe them. They're only the masters of this little universe. They're not in charge of everything. They like, and kind of like laughing, like, oh, those tricksters are always trying to spin that tale to anybody who will listen to them. And it's just like, it just, I don't know. I find it kind of this like, good tale of that shaman was like, oh, don't listen to those guys. Those guys are always telling that.
Well, ultimately he's right, because the beings that I'm describing are not actually in control of anything. In reality, the only any beings that are non-physical that are in some way influencing humanity are only able to do so with humanity's consent. Whether or not it's conscious consent, that's a good question. But the matrix isn't so much an actual completely false reality that we're in. It's the difference between true reality and the reality that we perceive based on our programming and conditioning. And I guess I gotta ask you real quick, because we're coming up on the time that we were saying that we might do Infinite Imaginarium. Are you still wanting to do your show as well, or do you want to stick around here for a little longer?
We could stick around here, I guess. Let me just send a message to see if I could get Nikki in here, and then we could kind of like split this up, you know, maybe give me the other half of the audio later if that will work.
Yeah, I can just I can just send the audio to you. We can stay on this call.
Yeah, and let's just keep it going now. Because I kind of want to touch more on this whole thing about give this kind of a consent kind of thing. Because I think it goes back to what you're saying about fear. Is that, and I think this is a lesson that's kind of hard to learn, and you have to constantly kind of keep on learning. And is that the saying that I, whoops, I put it in the wrong box. The saying that I like a lot is it's this old Zen kind of riddle, and it's kind of like who's the one that makes the grass green? And so like you ponder that forever, and then you realize you're the one who makes the grass green. And it's like you have the power of shaping your perception of reality. And this is something that I do as like a personal kind of like meditation. Is anytime I get like bugged by someone or anything, I have to like reflect on myself, because it's really only mirroring back probably aspects that I haven't dealt with my own self. Because if I was like totally all right with myself, then is nothing that anybody could say that would like make me feel a way that I don't want to feel. And, you know, so
you can only judge in someone else that which you perceive in yourself, but you are not wanting to be aware of.
Yeah. And so like anytime I get upset about any little thing, I was like, okay, this is like, you know, I guess I'll just use like a personal example. Cause I'm kind of like this, where sometimes I get, like I'm not the not most reliable, but I'm not someone that will constantly like talk to somebody, like, you know, like, okay, we're like, oh, I'm very bad at keeping in touch with my friends. Like, I kind of always do my own little thing.
Dude, I know. Me too. It's a curse of the creative. We're reclusive.
And so, yeah, I'm reclusive, and I'm always doing this thing. And then, like, so, you know, I feel bad sometimes. And then I reach out to them. I'm like, sorry I didn't get to you. And then they'll be like, oh, you're always doing that. They kind of, my friends already know this about me. But then sometimes when I need, like, my friends, and I go and I'm like, oh, why are they talking back to me? Then I go into, like, this spiral, like, oh, my God, like, they hate me. And I'm like, stop it. He's like, you do this all the time. Like, get over, like, that's why you feel this way, is because you, that's part of your characteristics that you need to improve. Because that's part of my shortcomings as a human being, is not being there sometimes. Available to the people that I care about, you know? Like, I remember I went to this this lecture, this online lecture, and they were talking about, you know, like, I forgot what it was called, like, open up the heart chakra or something. I don't know, it was this science of non-duality thing, and we're just talking about different things, about meditation and this and that, but also to how there's a downfall in people that are doing this kind of thing, and they're like, oh, they're so involved in, let's say, themselves, of like developing themselves, that they block out the like their loved ones around them, you know? And it's a real kind of, yeah, of course you need to help yourself before you can help anybody else. But it,
At a certain point, you won't be able to help yourself anymore unless you are actively intending and engaging helping others. And you don't even have to go out of your way, in my opinion, although going out of your way is a good way to accelerate your own development. Instead, just pay attention to who's there in your immediate daily environment that could use a positive bit of encouragement, or is maybe ready and open to accept some kind of information about something that they were closed off about before, something that directly affects them. You know, whether that's some awesome, crazy conspiracy theory that you want to tell them about, or you want to help them unlock the powers of their right brain and get them out of the left brain prison by introducing them to meditation. There's all kinds of ways that you can lift up the people around you. And then on top of that, people are going to be asking you for help at different points, and it's up to you to not blow them off. And that might be like your mom needs you to come paint her bathroom or something. You know, like, you've got to do those little things, because that, like, that sets up the reflective hologram nature of the universe to not just serve you in return, but also for others to serve others. So it's like, it's not selfish to create that kind of positive karma for yourself. In fact, it is just a positive feedback loop that ripples through for everybody. I'm glad we got to this point. I feel like we've covered a lot of awesome ground. It's going to be interesting to see where we go over on Infinite Imaginarium. And I encourage everybody to go over to Satori D's channel, which I'll be linking in the show notes here, and find the part two of our conversation. I can't wait to have it. So I'm positive it's going to be awesome. You got anything you want to direct people to before the episode wraps up here?
Nah, I think we're at a good spot.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hey, you made it to the end of the show. So that means you probably liked it. And I sure like you for listening to the whole thing. Wow. I want to be your best friend. But since I'm not where you are, and the only thing I can do for you is make podcasts, maybe you could do something in return for me, and it'll be like, you know, regular favor friends do. Nothing weird or sexual, of course. I just need you to share this podcast with somebody else. Like, in person, it would be better than sharing on social media, but if necessary, just share it on social media. Do something to help us grow and reach more people, because I really think everyone should get into their own inner creator and weirdness and generate some novelty so that the world can, you know, evolve and change. Call me crazy. Anyway, thanks for listening. Go follow Satori D on Minds and join us there for a lot more interesting and free conversations than you get on Facebook. And definitely check the show notes to follow Cadella on SoundCloud and listen to this new EP, Sleepwalker. And speaking of that, here's a new song off of it called Save Me, featuring Adam Johnston. You're welcome. Enjoy. I love you. Talk to you next week. I can't go.